The following is a lightly edited version of the Bobby Blackwell Show from 2010. Starting in 2011, these shows will be put into a separate uncut RSS feed on the BobbyBlackWolf.com website and will be posted the night of the live show. These unedited shows feature long, awkward pauses and may contain technical difficulties or explicit language. This feed will be for the edited versions of the shows that sound good for a podcast. Good luck. Tonight, my inner Sierra fanboy geeks out with Cesar Bitar, Michael Fortunato, and Katie Hallahan from The Silver Lining, the King's Quest fan game we've been talking about. We'll also take your live calls and chat comments here on the Bobby Blackwell Show, week of July 11th, 2010. Bobby Blackwell Show, you're on the air.
Calling in to chime in about this, Matt.
It's your fault, Doc Wolf. It's you guys who buy these dumb Katamari, Kamari, Catalarm kind of that game.
Bobby Blackwell back at Dragon Con 2005.
I am here at Anime Weekend Atlanta 11. I'm here at the Best Buy in Alpharetta, Georgia, talking about the Xbox 360 launch.
PC Nate and everybody in chat's all going, we didn't buy into the hype. You did buy into the hype, you just didn't buy the system.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, it's Bobby Blackwell.
So I pulled up my DOS box and my Roland MT32, played a little bit of Princess Rosella. That's the right game, right? I'm supposed to be playing it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to a special edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as reminisce about gaming's history, which we're going to be doing a little bit of tonight. My name is Bobby Blackwell. You're joining us live here on All Games Radio. Welcome. Head on over to our chat room, chat.allgames.com, right there in your web browser. You will be able to interact with our fans that aren't watching EVO, the big fighting game tournament. But you'd also be able to ask some questions of our special guest tonight. A little bit later on, I am still going to be taking calls so we can talk about other things, because there is other things going on in the gaming industry. Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word. That is my name on Skype. No more toll-free number for this show, unfortunately. Email address is blackwolf@allgames.com. So I've been pumped for this for tonight and for really this weekend for quite a long time, probably since I first heard about the project in 2006, thanks to some of Stephen Totillo's writings, because I was a big Sierra fanboy as a kid. I've talked about it on the show. I didn't like the Monkey Islands as a kid. It was kind of like my Xbox versus PlayStation was Sierra versus Lucasfilm, and Sierra won quite handedly in my 13-year-old mind. I always kind of missed adventure games, and I'm very glad that adventure games have been making a comeback recently. And, you know, I've kind of been following this fan game based on the King's Quest series, which is called The Silver Lining. They've been working on it over at Phoenix Online Studios for many years. They fought a lot of legal and other hurdles from big-name game companies that just don't get it. And this weekend, the first episode of The Silver Lining has come out, and I am very pleased to introduce tonight, we're going to have the fanfare playing here, we have Cesar Bitar, who is the project director and producer, Michael Fortunato, who is the assistant art director and voiceover director, and Katie Hallahan, who is the co-designer and public relations manager of Phoenix Online Studios. They are here to talk all about The Silver Lining and how we got from there to here. So are you guys there?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
The fanfare is still playing. Sorry. It's a very long fanfare at the beginning. It's that King's Quest IV fanfare. So welcome to the show. Basically, for those who don't really, that aren't me and don't really know, you know, King's Quest or the King's Quest world or anything, or even what The Silver Lining is, what is The Silver Lining in 1,000 words or less?
Well, The Silver Lining is a continuation to the story that's been going on for King's Quest. We really wanted to bring the story to sort of a conclusion to the whole series. So that's what we set out to do 8 years ago.
And The Silver Lining has also taken on a whole other meaning now after 8 years of development and...
two cease and desist orders.
Two cease and desist, yes. So...
So, but the game, what is the game, like the kind of the storyline of the game, what are we doing in the game?
So as the game opens, you find yourself, it is the wedding of Princess Rosella to Prince Edgar.
You gave it away.
Give it away.
Okay.
And then, you know, things happen, and a wizard appears in the middle of the wedding and casts a spell on both Alexander and Rosella and sends them into a deep sleep. And now, as King Graham, their father, you'd have to wake them up. So Graham sets on a journey among, through the Green Isles to find a way to awaken his sleeping children.
And historically, in the King's Quest canon, this takes place right after Mask of Eternity. Mm-hmm. So it's what did we say it was?
It was right around the twins' 21st birthday as well.
Exactly. So it's to give a place and date and time for fans.
So you guys went episodic with this, and you know, one thing I think we should point out: A, this game is free to download off your website. You can't sell it, right?
Correct.
Not allowed to sell it. You can only download it from your website. Now, if people download, you went episodic. Episode one, just fair warning, guys, it's if you don't like spend all this time going through the world or anything, it'll take you about 45 minutes to an hour. Is that on purpose?
Yes. Episode one, well, it was on purpose, and it was also the way that the game was created. What happened there is that episode one used to be chapter one. There used to be two chapters, with chapter one being a long-winded introduction to the game, and then chapter two when you have all the gameplay and all the story, everything happening. So chapter one, when we decided to go episodic, was naturally turned to episode one. And we decided to leave it that way because it was a great welcoming to all the fans into the world of King's Quest without, you know, having to go through breaking their heads or trying to solve a puzzle or anything. It was just a story that just went on. And you know, not only for King's Quest fans, but also for anybody that wants to play it, anybody wants to have like an introduction to what King's Quest is, a casual gamer can pick it up and enjoy the story. But no worries. I mean, we know episode one is short. You can get through it in about an hour. But episodes two through five, they will offer about 3 to 5 hours of gameplay each.
And the other thing I wanted to mention about the splitting it up into the episodes, we made each episode have a beginning, middle, and end. So in order for episode one to have that strong beginning, middle, and end, it had to be just the intro. Mm-hmm. So it was also for a story perspective, it actually made it much stronger.
So, well, this begs the question, why did you guys switch from the chapter model to going episodic?
I think that, you know, when you look at what some companies are doing out there, like Telltale, it just makes sense from every, you know, it lets you work on, like, smaller chunks, which is awesome from a production standpoint. You get to be really centered into what you're doing right now without having to worry about the rest of the episodes that much. It also allows the story to be up for a longer period of time so that, you know, fans can enjoy. Instead of just playing the game, you get the full game and you play it and that's it. Now you get to engage them through the community into waiting for each episode. Just like a TV show does, which is by the end of the TV show, you feel like the characters are your friends and you know them most in a way that it would be in a movie, for example. So I think that, you know, it is a great way to bring the adventure genre to the new market, just because it is so, those games are so story-centered that you can really bring that out. You can, you know, start the story, then end at a cliffhanger, and then pick up next month. And I think, you know, companies like Telltale have been doing great with that model, so we decided to try it, and it's been really working for us.
So is it going to be just a month between episodes, or are you not kind of committing to that kind of timetable?
We're not committing to that timetable. You know, you have to keep in mind that we're still working on our free time. Right. And we're going to try to the best that we can to keep them as close as possible. But we don't want to say how much it's going to be. Is it going to be 1 month or 2 months or 3 months? We know that it's going to be between 1 month and 3 months between all the episodes. I mean, it's not going to be 8 years. Don't worry about that either.
I wouldn't want it to be another 8 years. No way.
So you're not Valve. You're not doing Half-Life.
No, okay. Absolutely not.
Okay, well, here's a question that I want to... Why... King's Quest. Why not, you know, what drew you to King's Quest and not something like Space Quest or Police Quest or Leisure Suit Larry or any of the other Sierra franchises?
I think it was just, like, it was one of the games, you know, at least for this particular group that we all just had in common as one of our favorites from the Sierra, you know, group back in the day. And certainly when I had joined, it was already a King's Quest fan game at the time, but that was really exciting because that had been personally my favorite series from the Sierra games. So,
King's Quest was my introduction to Sierra games. King's Quest IV being my first PC game I ever played, and it was and because of the music, I went out and got a sound card, and I was desperate to hear the music to King's Quest IV. So you playing the King's Quest IV fan through the MT32 version, awesome. That has been my inspiration for video game music since. I fell in love with video game music because of King's Quest IV.
Yeah, now I can relate to that because, I mean, I really, you know, yeah, I showed that I had an MT32 earlier. That was the one gift I wanted as a kid, and I never got it because my parents would never – were like, why would you want to pay $400 for a sound module? Here, have a sound blaster and stuff. But, I mean, I wanted to write music for video games, and, you know, it was the Sierra games like King's Quest and Police Quest and all those that got me into that. Now, you guys have heard the story about, like – the way that they introduced the Roland MT32 at the Consumer Electronics Show. Have you guys heard this story?
I have not, no.
Essentially, the legend goes, and I think I read it in like an old Sierra advertisement. This is getting a little off topic. But basically what they did at the Consumer Electronics Show in 88 or whenever King's Quest IV came out, because King's Quest IV was the first Sierra game to actually use anything other than internal squeaker.
So
they brought people into this room and they played the intro, you know, cinematic, what we would call today, but the intro sequence in King's Quest IV with the Roland MT32 and surround sound and stuff, and had everybody in a darkened room. And
people started crying.
Yeah, and it actually brought a woman to tears.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I lied. I did hear that before, but I had
yes.
forgotten. I think that was on the back of the box for King's Quest IV, too.
Yeah. They advertised that.
So that was why I wanted an MT32, and I never got one until, like, eBay, like, a couple years ago. But anyway, speaking of, you know, like the old days, have you guys heard from, you know, maybe Ken and Roberta Williams? They were, you know, big. They kind of started it all, and then when they left the game industry, they really left the game industry. They're like, we're going on a boat. See you guys. Don't want to talk to you. Have you heard from them at all?
Oh, yes. We have.
Oh, yeah. In fact, tune in to take a look at our homepage on tsl-game.com. Actually,
yeah,
is that up?
Yeah. If you go there, you'll see a quote from Roberta, who recently played our game. And she was kind enough to send us some words that, you know, they meant everything to us. She was approving of the game. She was really honored that we continue the King's Quest franchise. And she liked the game. So, you know, for us, that means the world.
Now, we do have our chat room, by the way. If you just tuned in, we're talking with the folks behind the Silver Lining, the King's Quest fan game by Phoenix Online Studios. Chat.allgames.com is our chat room. MXT in our chat room has a serious question because, you know, we've kind of, you know, jumped straight into the King's Quest stuff without actually, you know, really backtracking. What is the gameplay like in the Silver Lining for somebody who's never played the Silver Lining or seen it?
You mean for someone who's never played an adventure game or just...
Basically what I want to get at, it's a very old school point and click adventure game, right?
Very much so. In fact, it's modeled, the interface is really modeled after King's Quest VI. We were trying to keep it nostalgic to that, considering it's also, you know, most of the game, the game takes place on the Green Isles, as in King's Quest VI, so...
So what you can expect, basically, it's a story that it's based on a lot of exploration. It's based on a lot of character. You go around, you talk to people, you really have great conversations in the way that, you know, some games, some later games or some newer games like Mass Effect 2 or Dragon Age have, which are based on a lot of conversation with characters. We have that, and we have the topic system that you can ask different questions. We don't certainly have that, you know, choose the response. It's more a story center in that way that we tell the story to you. On the other hand, it's based on a lot of puzzles in which you have to figure out how to get some certain things done. you know, you have to use like your inventory to like use a fishbowl to get something out of the sea, or you have to bring the right item to some person so that they can give you something else that you need. So I mean, there, it is very if there's another genre to compare it to, I would say that the role playing games, but it's more centered about how to figure out how to do those things, and it doesn't have any kind of, you know, battles or leveling up, or, you know, it's just
getting information.
Ahead, yes, it's all about exactly. Sorry, Katie, you go ahead.
Like inventory puzzles, logic puzzles, things like that, as opposed to like having fights or leveling any that sort of thing.
Yes, there's no hacking and slashing and leveling up.
How many deaths are in the game?
I think we're
there are a few. On episode one, you can only die in two ways. Yeah, there's it's the same kind of death, but it happens in two different places. We wanted to we wanted to tone that down because, you know, in early Sierra games, it was sometimes way too much.
Yeah, you're not going to fall off a cliff or something.
Yeah.
You're not going to kill me if I don't know how to type Rumpelstiltskin backwards or anything like that.
No.
We don't have that kind of parser anyway. So
that's
And we also got away from some of the earlier design from Sierra, where if you don't have the right items, you can go into a dead end. We stayed away from that. There's no dead ends on this game at all. And when you die, there's actually
that too. It took a long time to make sure there were no dead ends.
Yeah.
And when you actually die, there's also a retry button. So you don't have to worry about, you know, dying and then having to load your game like 10 years ago.
You're a half hour behind where you were and everything.
And do you have a picture of, you know, Katie coming up and saying, "Oh, you shouldn't have done that," or something, you know, mocking you like Roberta did?
Oh, that would have been hilarious.
That would have been funny. We don't have
that in future episodes.
certainly we have, when we were writing the story, we wanted to keep that witty dialogue. So we have the narrator actually making a lot of witty remarks.
Yeah. Our fans have already noticed she's a very sassy, snarky narrator.
Yes. We love her so.
Yeah.
Burr in our chat room wants to know what the system requirements are to play this, and also if does it run on Linux even through like Wine.
We heard that somebody was able to run it at Linux, but it's made for Windows. It's definitely
technically
made for
the Torque engine can be run on Windows, Mac, and Linux. However, we have not been able to at this time to create the compiler for Mac and Linux. Now, if someone out there wants to try, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, hint, hint. As far as hardware requirements are concerned, I believe it's a Pentium 4, 512 megs of RAM, although we recommend 1 gig. And it will play on the Intel integrated graphics cards. However, you'll have to turn down some of the graphics settings and make sure you have the most updated drivers. We've had some people have OpenGL issues because they didn't update their graphics card drivers.
So it uses OpenGL and not DirectX?
Correct. Torque only uses OpenGL, I believe. I'm not sure if you can use Direct3D and Torque natively.
Jim, Sally, and Spazinator in our chat room kind of had the same kind of question. They phrased them differently. What about like either a console, an Xbox Live Arcade, or PlayStation Network, or like an iPhone release? Are you looking at any of those, or are you going to stay completely with PC?
Because this is a free game, and we can't sell it, we really can't port it to those particular consoles.
Yeah.
Gotcha. We'd love to, though.
Yeah, absolutely. We would love to.
So, 8 years has been how long it's been. And, you know, whenever I hear, like, games that have been in development for a long time, I usually think of Duke Nukem Forever and how many engines they went through. How many engines did you guys go through in the course of making the Silver Lining?
We went through three. We started working
four,
with a couple.
I think.
Yeah,
because the first one was technically 2D.
Yeah.
Right.
And then we had, I think it was Crystal Space that we went through.
Before Crystal Space, one of our programmers created an actual 3D engine from scratch. Right. Then we moved to Crystal Space, and then we finally moved to Torque.
So Tiger Claw wants to know about the voiceovers in this. Did you go back and like maybe talk to some of the old voiceover people from like King's Quest V and VI and them, or did you get an entirely new cast? And are they professionals or community members or both?
We did not actually really talk with anyone who did work on King's Quest V and King's Quest VI. Basically, I used to live in New York, and so I have a number of friends who are professional actors, and in turn, they have friends, and we also held auditions in New York for actors. But we also did want fans to be in the game as well. So the main characters are professional actors, but we do have a mix of some of the smaller characters being voiced by the fans. Mm-hmm. We held online auditions as well for some of the fans and such, so that we can get as many as possible in the game.
And so you got some professionals and some of them. Are there still auditions, or have all the spots been filled?
All the spots have been filled. In fact, I just returned from New York. I recorded some more pickup lines with some of the actors. It's really interesting because they had recorded their lines about 5 years ago. So going back, getting back into the characters was really interesting. After 5 years.
Now, so how much of are all the episodes done, or are you just or where are you on the rest of the episodes of this of the Silver Lining?
They're about 90% done. All of them. When we broke it into episodes, we decided to add a couple of new cutscenes to what Michael was talking before about that beginning, middle, and end. But they are basically they're all playable. We had a full playable game before we broke it into episodes, and we had to make changes when we did that because now the way that the episode work and is that there are 5 aisles in the game, so you will have access to a new aisle with every episode. So it used to be that you needed items from some aisles to solve puzzles in other aisles. So when we eliminated access to some of those, we had to change some of the puzzles. But all the content is already there. So we just need about a couple of months, a month or maybe two, to really, polish the games and get it ready for release.
So now that we've, talked about the game, now it's time to talk about the part that got you in the news and everything. We've even already got a couple questions in chat, and I think it was Wide Angle, I think, in chat. I got to look. Amaze Satsuma, who was easier to negotiate with, Activision or Vivendi?
Activision.
Activision.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because, the quick story, at least the part that I know, is that you guys got a cease and desist order from Vivendi, which had bought Sierra at the time, and then got a fan license from them, and then when Vivendi and Activision merged to take over the world, they revoked it, and then I guess Stephen Totillo made some more big posts, because I think Stephen Totillo has been kind of like your biggest cheerleader so far, right?
Yes, he's been great.
Because I remember back on an MTV multiplayer blog, he did a big thing on it, and then now he's at Kotaku, and he was writing some big things about it. So, mm-hmm. Was he kind of instrumental in keeping it in their heads, maybe?
Myself and one of the other directors, Richard Flores, actually talked to Steven at PAX East back in March. Mm-hmm. That was the interview that eventually spawned the big article that he had, and I believe it was early May, where he had some quotes from Activision. I do know he was kind of calling them a lot, trying to, get a good quote from them and information from them for the article. So it was certainly, that was ill-timed, if nothing else.
I was going to say, ultimately, though, it was our fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was them writing into Activision and creating the save TSL, the whole nine yards, that actually got them to look at it and go, hey, wait, who are these? What exactly is Phoenix Online, and what is this game?
We heard stories about stacks and stacks of letters on somebody's desk at Activision. So it definitely was their fans that saved us. And they didn't do it only once, but twice. So we were really grateful to them.
So, but did Activision finally approach you to want to talk more about it after, the whole fan campaign? Or was it you guys continually kind of... Okay, so yeah. They came back to you.
It was a mixture of both. We kept trying to contact them. We kept trying to you know, talk to them. And then finally, they called us back. Michael and I received a call
from... They physically called us, yes. Yeah. Called on the phone.
Yes. We both received a call one Friday because he couldn't reach either of us. So he left a message for both of us. And then, you know, I called him back and they say, yeah, we wanna work out with you guys. We want to let you guys release the Silver Lining to the fans now that we've been able to take a look at the project. So, you know, from that point on, it's been amazing to work with them. They're so open to, you know, all the things that we suggest and all the offers that we get. They're open to them, even though, you know, the contract may say that we cannot do this or we cannot do that. If we talk to them and say, hey, we got this opportunity going on here, they're really open to that. And they haven't so far, they haven't, you know, said no to any of our requests. So it is great. It's been amazing. And you know, with Vivendi, I think this is because we're dealing more with the business side of Activision. With Vivendi, we were talking to the lawyers. So the lawyers were always like, no, 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 no. So it's been easier to work with Activision, really.
See, you're breaking all the stereotypes that we build up on the show because we all, you know, believe that Bobby Kotick is devil and everything. So it's kind of weird to hear, you know, for a lot of my listeners, it's going to be weird for them to hear, yeah, Activision's like open to anything we talk about. We're like, really? Really?
Well, you know, Activision is not just Bobby Kotick. So, you know, it's such a huge company. There are so many divisions. And honestly, they had to protect their intellectual property. So their first immediate response had to have been cease and desist. I mean, that's otherwise they would not be protecting their IP. And we fully understand that, you know. And once they got the chance to, you know, really look at everything and size it all up, they were so open and accommodating. It was awesome.
Do you think this opens the door for other groups to possibly work with them to maybe continue what they, you know, if they like Space Quest or Police Quest or anything else that Activision owns?
I don't know, because we really had, I mean, in the case of the Silver Lining, it was something that was, just because of what happened with Vivendi once, we had already gotten a lot of press attention. And I think, you know, the combination of that and the fans was the thing that, you know, had them take a look at our job. And when they saw the magnitude of the project that it was, they at that point they say, okay, let's let it happen because a lot of work has gone into this and a lot of fans are waiting for it. Now, if you're doing something from scratch, I don't know because I'm not there. I can't speak for them, but I'm not sure if it would be easy or hard to get.
Now, one of the things also that I read is that, you know, so many people have worked on this project since the beginning. Were all three of you in from the beginning, or did all of you come in later?
It was sort of all of us from the beginning. I was there from the very beginning. I joined as a writer, and I started working on the story of and the whole design of the game. And then, you know, that happened in 2000, actually. Mm-hmm. And then in 2000, but nothing really happened between 2000 and 2002. In 2002, I got I became the producer of the project, basically. And at that
and
point,
that's when I joined. Bringing,
yeah, at that point, I brought, like, Richard, who is our art director, as a co-director for, and then Michael joined. Then later, Katie, at the end of that year, I think she joined. And, you know, she helped me with the whole design and the story. Mm-hmm. We've been there from the beginning, pretty much.
And you guys had to find everybody that had ever worked on the project? Was that part of what I read?
For the credits.
We had to track them down at one point.
That took about a year.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, we were doing a fan game. We weren't thinking about, you know, legal stuff. And yeah. So when we had to get the signature, it was like, oh, crap.
A lot of people to track down.
And we had the names, but it was harder because, you know, I had outdated emails and I hadn't talked to them in such a long time. But, you know, we did have the name for the credits, of course, because I always promised them that, you know, you help us, you're going to get your name in the credits no matter what.
Absolutely. And we have stuck by that big time.
Yeah, I noticed that the credit screen, the special thanks part of the credits is takes a while, guys.
Yeah.
Amaze Satsuma in our chat room has a question. Are any of the characters based on any member of the staff or their family?
There is actually one character that is based on, I think it was 2004, we held a contest where we asked fans to dress up and take pictures of themselves. And, you know, we had a lot of creative entries. And, we chose one guy who, if you go to the village right now and you see a guy, like, waving, like, that
dude. End of the year, I think.
The end of the war kind of thing. That's actually one of our fans who dressed up as a character, and we decided to model that and put that in the game.
Mm-hmm. But so, I think he's the only one that was actually modeled after
a person.
A person, real, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We're speaking with the team behind the Silver Lining, TSL-game.com. I'm trying to remember that now. My notes went away. They flew away. Friggin' birds. It's a free game. It is out now. You guys have been working on it in your free time. This is not your day job. You can't make any money off of this. When this is all over, are you guys going to make another game, or are you just going to have a community built around this?
Oh no, we're actually moving on to some original IP, a game with, you know, it's going to be completely original. It's currently titled Corridor 9. It's the working title. It may or may not stay that way when it's actually completed, but that is our next endeavor once we finish the 5 episodes here.
Yeah, it's been my baby for a while, that story. I've been writing it for a couple of years now. And, you know, it's been going through a lot of revisions to the point where, you know, finally I think we got something that everybody's agreed upon and everybody's excited about.
Yes, so I will be honest. I did a whole 180 on that game.
Yes,
first draft, I was like, ew, really? And the second draft, I was like, we must make this game now! it was just a total 180. I cannot wait to start to really dive into that.
So a question I have, because I played through the first episode. Does I know King Graham is old. Is it possible for him to run in future episodes? Because I had to backtrack all the way back to his room to go get something from the docks.
This has been the bone of contention for a while. It's something we've all discussed about. I have been clamoring for a run in this game for a while. I don't know if it's going to be implemented yet or not.
Yeah, we may do that. We may do something like, you know, if you double click on certain areas, like the you know, the edge of the screen, you automatically go to the next
jump to the next screen. Yeah.
Because that long walk of shame from spoiler alert, from the docks back to his room because I forgot to pick up something.
You get to enjoy the pretty graphics all over again.
Yes, yeah. It's raining. It makes you feel that weight over you. That you
says
have to
the assistant art director.
You can click your hand and eye on everything you see
yes.
And get all the fun messages.
Yes. Are you worried that King's Quest fans are going to be picking apart this? You know, other King's Quest fans that think that they know better than you guys. Are you worried about that, or do you think you've got something that everybody will like?
I am actually really happy that they're picking it apart. In fact, the fans on the forums have been phenomenal. The critiques have been excellent, sometimes really crazy and bitter, but sometimes just wonderful and fantastic. And it's really helpful overall. So I'm hoping that we can actually implement some of these critiques into our future, into the next episodes as we tweak them.
You know, this being a story that, you know, we've been going back and forth for so long and working on this game for so long, I was really nervous about the first day. You know, people are finally going to get to play this and, you know, what are they going to say about it? But so far, it's been great. I mean, I go through, you know, all the things that I thought, well, maybe this wasn't that good. And people seem to love it, everything, every bit of it. I mean, they have, like Michael said, they have some comments, but for the most part, the response is, this is phenomenal. This is the King's Quest game that we've been waiting for ever since King's Quest 7. And, you know, that is awesome.
Yeah.
The Outcast in our chat room, who I believe he said he's been with you guys since 2005, he's got the best idea. Give King Graham a hover round. I am
I
all
it.
For this. Let's give him a hover round. Because you could go anywhere in a hover round.
Yes.
That would be hilarious. Is he really that old that he needs a hover round?
I can hear the nitpickers coming at that one already.
Wasn't there a computer like on the shelf in King's Quest 2 or something? What? Just say it's from
I think that might have been in 3 in Menenin's.
Yeah, I think it was 3.
There, if you looked at the shelves in a certain place, you could see a computer screen or something like that.
I think so.
Yeah.
See, and I said 2, so I just immediately lost.
I gotta dust off my Commodore 64 and take a look.
Yeah.
That's actually when I played King's Quest 3. Boy, that's going back.
So the game is at tsl-game.com. The first episode is out now. It's a great prologue to the series. You guys, you know, I mean, I've kind of tried to make games on my own, and I never finished them. So just, you know, the fact that you guys have worked so long and spent so much time to actually finish a game and actually have it see the light of day, you know, on top of all the legal stuff, it is amazing. I know how difficult it is to motivate yourself to do something just for the love of it. So I commend you guys, and I think everybody should go pick this up. So, hey, you know, as somebody who is a Sierra fan, you know, thank you for sticking with it and actually putting something out.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Those kind of things, and the people like you, people that are still wanting to see the Sierra games, you're the reason why we're doing this. So, I mean, we're fans like you are. And we also felt that, you know, when Sierra went away, it was like, oh, now what? So we decided to take it into our own hands.
Because, I mean, if Telltale can bring back Monkey Island and Sam & Max, which I love the Sam & Max series, I want to see some Sierra remakes. And so thank you guys for the King's Quest stuff. Anything else you wanted to add before I let you go?
Yes, you know, And it's a good thing that you bring that up, because one of the things that we want to do at Phoenix Online Studios is being able to not only bring King's Quest back, but also being able to bring Space Quest, Gabriel Knight, Quest for Glory, all those great games that, you know, they were the great gems of the 90s, the 80s and 90s, and now have gone into obscurity. So, you know, as we move on commercially, we're gonna be doing our best to try to get something out of that. We don't know how Activision is gonna react to that, but we're gonna be doing our best to get those franchises back up and running in a commercial way. So, the more that you can support the Silver Lining, the more that people can see that there is a market out there for these games, the greater the chance that we'll have to be able to bring back all the other franchises to you.
Bring back Gabriel Knight. Bring back Gabriel Knight.
Please. Oh, wait.
What can you tell me about voodoo?
Jones in the Fast Lane. Come on.
Oh, I love that game. I loved
That reminds me. If you've got Graham sitting around not doing anything for a little while, you might hear a few things from some of the other old Sierra games.
Yeah.
Starting on episode two. Yeah, I was going to say, that wasn't implemented yet in episode one, but in episode two.
What's something to look forward to?
Spoilers.
Yep. A little spoiler there.
Thank you guys so much. We are going to play you guys out. This is the theme song by Austin Haynes. You guys got a whole new soundtrack for this as well?
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
So
the soundtrack will be out at some point. We don't know when, but it will be out. We have about 3 hours of music in the game, so yeah, that needs to come out.
It's brilliant music.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the silver lining. Thank you so much, Cesar Bitar. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm awesome, or not? Cesar Bitar. He was the project director and producer. Michael Fortunato. He is the assistant art director and voiceover director. And Katie Hallahan, co-designer and public relations manager of Phoenix Online Studios. The game is the silver lining. It is the fan-made continuation of King's Quest. Thanks so much, guys, for coming on and spending your Sunday night with us. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much.
We're going to take a quick break here on the show. I'm going to rest my voice a little bit, play the theme song from The Silver Lining by Austin Haynes, and then we're going to be opening up the phone lines to take your calls right here on the Bobby Blackwolf Show. And so I'm going to say goodbye to them. And here we go. This is The Silver Lining. You're actually going to be able to hear this on the podcast. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio, online at allgames.com. Thank you.
You're listening to the Bobby Blackwolf Show.
Mortal Kombat on Sega Genesis is the best video game ever.
I disagree. It's a very good game, but I think Donkey Kong is the best game ever.
Donkey Kong sucks.
You know something? You suck.
On allgames.com.
Welcome back to the Bobby Blackwolf Show on All Games Radio. Thanks so much to the Phoenix Online Studios guys and gal for coming on the show tonight. TSL-game.com, the silver lining. What up, G, in our chat room saying, you know, more companies should be open to fan projects, specifically, you know, Chrono Trigger, that fan project has been, you know, shut down multiple times. But also, you know, what I remember about the Chrono Trigger one is that they're just doing a remake of the original, which is currently still being sold on the PlayStation 1. And I would not be surprised if you saw that pretty soon, either on the Virtual Console or on the PlayStation Network. So obviously they have a right, but this was a continuation of a game series that Activision really had no desire to continue themselves. So that's kind of where this is a little bit different. But I thank them for coming on. I'm very much looking forward to the game. The phone line is open. The Skype line, not the phone. Skype line is open. Bobby Blackwolf Show, that is all one word on Skype. We can talk about anything recent going on in the game industry. There is actually some news, you know, that I, you know, kind of was hopped up on this week, and unfortunately it mostly kind of corrected itself, but not completely. And I'm talking about Real ID, which is something we've talked about a little bit on the call with OLR, usually at the end of the show, because I know that that Rob is, you know, big against Real ID and still is. But they had announced in the past 2 weeks that we haven't been on the air that in order to post on their forums at Blizzard, you had to show your real first and last name. Just to post on the forums, which includes tech support and stuff for not just World of Warcraft, but for also StarCraft II and Diablo III, two games I was really looking forward to. And I don't like this because, by the way, guys, Bobby Blackwolf is not my real name. And I don't really think that I should be forced to have my real name indexed by Google as posting on a video game forum for possibly future employers to see. And you know, people who are young and don't have jobs or have never really had a real job or had to interview with them think that it's stupid that somebody would, you know, not hire you because they found that you posted on a World of Warcraft forum. And I'm saying, you know, well, if there's two applicants for a position, they're both equally skilled, they can only hire one. They need to kind of figure out which one to get rid of. And it's possible that they could go in there, and the only thing they know about World of Warcraft is that, oh, he plays World of Warcraft. I heard that people in World of Warcraft neglect their family, neglect their jobs, neglect everything. I don't want to hire somebody that is like that, so they'll go hire the other guy. That's kind of why I was against Real ID. And yes, I know if you don't like it, don't post on the forums. I heard that many times. And I wasn't going to post on the forums, but I was still going to make a big stink about it. But Blizzard changed their mind about the forums, at least. They're not going to force it on the forums anymore. So they released that statement late in the week. So I didn't get to really go on the full rant because they kind of fixed that part. But Real ID still exists. It is still exploitable by add-ons. It is still almost necessary to have friends in the game. I don't know if you need to use Real ID to add friends in StarCraft II. I really don't want to be giving out my real name to people just to play against them in StarCraft II and have them own me. There's a lot of privacy issues with that, and I'm not a big fan of it. And I'm sure that we'll get into it a little bit more later on. What up, G? In our chat room, commenting about my Chrono Trigger comment, said, yeah, it's a little bit different. I still would have loved to have seen the Chrono Project continued, but, I mean, it's kind of hard. I mean, that one's kind of hard because Square is kind of still building a little bit on the Chrono universe, whereas Activision really isn't building on the King's Quest universe. That's where they're a little bit different. So chat.allgames.com. I'm also going to be reading comments and questions from chat about anything in the game industry if nobody wants to call. Bobby Blackwolf Show on Skype if you want to call in. Tiger Claw says Facebook is the one you got to worry about. And see, I do use my real name on Facebook. And, you know, I don't mind that because I don't post stuff about video games on my Facebook, which is why if you do know my real last name, which it's not exactly a secret, I'm making it more of a big deal than it really is. But I don't accept your friend request on Facebook because it's for people I actually knew. Twitter, Bobby Blackwolf on Twitter, that's where you should go. That's where I talk about video games. Well, I guess nobody's going to be calling in tonight, so it's okay because we had a nice long interview. But coming up here after the show, after us here on All Games Radio, is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They've also done stuff with the Silver Lining before, and we usually check in with them before their show to see how they're – because they also took last week off to go blow a piece of our nation up. And so we like to check in with them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
Hi, we're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing good. So
I have to admit, I wasn't expecting you to call already.
Well,
all right. How are you doing?
It was a little you're a little bit of an echo. I think you're still in your
– Oh, sorry about that. I'm unprepared and everything. There we go. Much better, right?
Well, nobody wanted to call, so I was rambling.
Oh, that's awfully rude. But you know, you had that nice long conversation with the folks from the Silver Lining, so that was awesome. Good job.
Because I know you guys had covered the Silver Lining a lot in the past, and they actually remembered you.
Awesome! Yeah, we hosted their demo about 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, 2006
started. And you might remember there was a cease and desist that went down to them that they had to take their stuff down a while ago. And I was always of the opinion that I said, well, I never got a cease and desist. So if you want to get the demo, you can kind of still find it.
It's... Yeah. And I believe episode one is mostly like the demo. It's a little bit it goes a little bit farther than the demo, but not really. So. And everybody's
gotcha.
Everybody's saying there's a laser firing in the background again. I don't know what it is with the buzzsaw between you and me.
Connection between Atlanta and Sacramento that's strange because we don't get it on our calls and you don't get it on your calls, but it's only when we're talking to each other. Strange.
It's the only way we can communicate is via death laser.
Apparently.
So you love Real ID now, right? Right, Rob?
Don't get me started. I need to give a shout out to those in case those Phoenix folks are still listening to the show. First, I hope you're not mad about what I just said about the demo. But second, I major props to those guys for doing something basically for free for so long. You know, I can sympathize with that, but it's really quite a feat. I think what's most amazing about what they've done is the fact that they are all long distance, from what I gather. It's mm-hmm. not like these folks are all kind of working out of one building, such as the Activisions and EAs of the world. I mean, yes, I know satellite offices, satellite studios, but for the most part, they're all working really across the internet. So this isn't just like a game built of fan love for, you know, what Roberta Williams created years ago, but it's a game created of the internet,
right?
In a way, I it blows my mind, and it's free. So if you're not playing it, I didn't play it this week, but I actually forgot it came out. I would, because it's been years and years and years, and it's always been, you know, stuff push it back. Then when I heard on your show it came out, I was like, oh shoot, it finally did come out this week. I got to check it out.
Spyro really wants us to fix the laser. I think what it is, the laser buzzsaw thing, is I think my mic is sending you like a high-pitched laser thing, and you're sending it back to me when most other calls don't.
That could be it. I don't know. So I apologize for the laser. I wish there was something we could do to fix it. But even if I think shut off our mics completely.
No, I think it's my mic that does it.
Your mic has the death laser.
It does. I think that's what it is.
So sorry to Spyro. I wish I don't know what we changed.
Gee,
but anyway.
Bobby, thanks.
I know.
So, sorry to change topic on you, but yes, Real ID is still terrible. It has not gone away, contrary to what people, including probably Blizzard, want you to believe. Real ID is still there, and if you were listening to Orange Lounge Radio a couple weeks ago, because we were off for the 4th, just like you, if you were listening to Orange Lounge Radio a couple weeks ago, I made this pretty angry rant on Real ID. Nothing changed about that. Amongst everything that happened this week, not a darn thing changed. Blizzard didn't retract anything that they'd already implemented. This was all about this really dumb shooting themselves in the foot idea about putting the real names on forums because they can't police them well enough to get rid of trolls. I mean, it was just talk about throwing out the baby with the bathwater. That is exactly what this was. Just an extreme solution, you know, and to some extent I didn't really care because I don't often post on the official forums, but I just thought when I heard it, I was like, boy, that is really stupid. I mean, yeah, there's going to be some people that will still post, but it's just they're gonna, you know, if you have these heavily trafficked forums, why would you shoot yourself in the foot and get rid of 7/8 of your traffic by forcing people to use their real names? I don't
It's kind of like swatting at a fly with a hammer.
It really is. That's a great comparison.
That's exactly how I take care of flies, though, in my house. I have a squeaky hammer, though.
Oh. See, I was talking about a big, real band hammer.
Yeah, it's a band hammer.
It was incredibly hilarious, and it made my cat run out of the room.
So, yes, there's more to the Real ID saga, and I'll get into that a little bit later on the show. But in my mind, Blizzard still hasn't really fixed Real ID. And one thing I want to get out there, because I want to spread this around as much as possible, is that Blizzard keeps calling this system an opt-in system. And I want to make this very clear. It is not an opt-in system. And anybody that's telling you it's an opt-in system is not playing Warcraft. Because there was an exploit revealed this week where through one line of code, an add-on could potentially display your real name. I understand it's potentially. I understand you need to be careful with add-ons that you put in the game. But the mere fact that this exists shows you your real name is there. Your real name is on the servers. Your real name can be pulled and displayed in the game if you're not careful.
And you can't change it.
And you can't change it. BlizzardNet, or whatever it's called, BattleNet, will not let you change it right now. Which hopefully will be one of the things that comes in later. But you can opt out of the service. You can go enable parental controls on your own adult account and turn it off, and you will break this said bug and so forth. So you can opt out. But if I have to opt out of that, then that's not really an opt-in program. That's an opt-out program. And it's the same thing Facebook, which BattleNet wants to get in bed with so badly. It's the same thing that Facebook took a lot of crap over, is that they were enrolling you in all these features by default, and people didn't like that. So I can't see why BattleNet will not end up ultimately going down this same path where they're going to have to make some severe changes to it. The one thing in the plus column I'll give them, at least they've shown that they will admit when they've made a mistake, in a way.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, because I mean, the thing that I mean, it was kind of interesting. Some of the comments that were flying around were, you know, where they would say, you know, like women who have actually been victims of, you know, domestic abuse and stuff, were like, I don't want my real name out there because I don't want people finding me. And Blizzard's like, you're just fear mongering. Stop that. You know, or a moderator would say that, and then you know, the whole post earlier that was all just a rumor where Blizzard was actually saying, yeah, our employees will not be participating because we can't have their real life violated by in-game issues or something.
And I want to address X-Link is saying in your chat room here, saying that I'm wrong because you can change your name, you just have to call into them. I have heard that where folks, I guess if they get married or whatever, can call in and change their name, but like, I have heard, and again, these are rumors, but I've heard like they make you present a certificate or some type of proof, and it's kind of like, who in the F do you think you are? I mean, you're a freaking computer game. Get over it.
Yeah.
For anything that you've got your name listed for billing information, I think, though, that in those cases, they're legitimate to request a form so they make sure that you're who you say you are when you're paying them.
Sure. Sure, that's fair.
And I think that that's the only case that really they're allowing those names change submissions through.
And that's why I put my real name in the first place. If I'd ever known 4 or 5 years ago when I first signed up for WoW that this would be the ultimate outcome of using that name, I would have thought in advance and used Rob Roberts, my internet pseudonym. Oh. Because I don't like my internet trail to be traceable. It's just, and Bobby's already given me other reasons. It's as simple as that.
Well, I'm glad that my account is inactive, you know. I'm never going to play World of Warcraft again because of this.
So
yeah, see, what I'm probably going to do is you can change the email address. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to make, since I don't play WoW and I really don't have anything associated with my BattleNet account, I'm going to move it over to an old email address and actually create a new account that uses my fake name.
And just a friendly reminder, folks, it's not just WoW. If you're going to be playing StarCraft 2 or Diablo 3, all this applies to you as well.
Probably more so, because I think, like, I think at the end of the beta, Real ID was the only way to add friends in StarCraft 2.
Seems a little crazy. Hopefully Blue comes to their senses as the forum things this week, but sadly it's going to happen overnight. I just wish they hadn't done it in the first place. Yeah.
So other than Real ID, what are you guys going to be talking about on the show tonight?
Well, we do have some other stuff coming up as well. Sadly, we don't have any awesome interviews like you had tonight, but we will talk a little bit about this. Cell phone integration in handheld devices. The iPhone is in some ways the PSP's and the DS or 3DS biggest competitor. So it's going to be interesting to see how all that plays out. DRM in Japan, kind of some of the interesting techniques they use over there have come out this week. We'll talk a little bit about that. Roger Ebert came out and said he was wrong.
Oh,
sorta.
Man. I thought for a second there.
Not came
out. I was like, whoa.
No, he's happily married and all that good stuff. So we'll be talking a little bit about that. And I love this. Microsoft is going to be teaming up with a fast food chain to promote Kinect. So get up and move after eating that hamburger.
I thought we already figured that out.
Sort of. It had been that the Burger King games were supposedly coming back, but now it looks like it might be this thing.
But they said that they're Kinect games.
Well, it's a little different now. It's kind of gone a different direction, so we'll talk about that.
It'll
someday.
Still be epic.
See, not even Loki knows, so stay tuned. It's very suspenseful.
Excellent. Well, thanks so much, guys. You will be up in just a little bit. You can hear Sky rant about everything. Thanks so much.
Yes, but there will be much more of the Real ID discussion, so please, if you're not a WoW player, I promise there will be like 2.5 hours worth of content for you. So
thank
you.
It's relevant to StarCraft. See, I don't care about WoW. See, that's the thing. It's like, you know, I've never played WoW, never will play WoW. I don't post on forums, but I still, you know, spoke up about this.
Well, I loved the way you said it, too, so I'll let you say it, because I loved your reason for speaking out on it.
Which was that? Oh, yeah, because when they they came for the forums and I said nothing.
Yes.
Dot, dot, dot. And then they came for me and nobody was left to speak for me.
That was a great way to sum it up. All right, Bobby, thanks as always for letting us be on your show, and we'll see the listeners in just a little bit.
All right. So that is it. They will be up next. OrangeLoungeRadio.com is their podcast. They are here on All Games Radio. Just stay tuned. Head on over to their chat room over at chat.orangeloungeradio.com to interact with them for the next couple hours. It's always great to be their opening act. That's it for me. Sunday night, next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, here on All Games Radio at allgames.com. You can catch us live and interact with the show directly. We don't always have cool interviews, but when we do, they're cool. You can email me, blackwolf@allgames.com, or join our official forums and community here at allgames.com all throughout the week here on the All Games Network. Lots of great shows. Friday Night Gaming is my TV show internet TV show on Friday nights right here at live.allgames.com. FNGlive.net is that website. Not sure what game we're playing this week. Might be the Transformers game, not sure. But we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the live chatters, so thank you very much. Billy OK, DC Nate, GK128, The Rob D, Binary 667, Burr, D5T, DeBlueGuy, Havoc978, Hecht, Maximilian, Octocamo, Pandalicious, Shadow Next Gen, Shadows Liar, THK, Tigerclaw, Wyland, Ake Ripper, Amaze Tsuma, Bacon Bits, Ben F., Deadman Wade, Demon 6858, DJ Dark Knight, Dungeon Buster, Firecube, Flaming Bozo, Funny T Man, Hey Jude, Jim Sally, Cousin, Libert 89, Lord Cypher, Matt Cube, Melted General, MXT, Necromoss, Nutman, Prowler 35, Ramakun, Redertainment, Riptide, Robocun, Ruben, Sky, Spazinator, Spyro, SSJ100, Matt, Subzi, The Time Dilation Dude, The Outcasted, Toagak, Warham, What Up G, Wide Angle, Wilcon, Xlink, Zappy, and Zeba. So thank you very much. A couple new names in there that I stumbled over because they came in tonight. Thanks so much for coming out. Really appreciate it. And we'll be back next week. I'm going to go play some more old Sierra games on my MT32. It'll be awesome. So thanks so much, guys. See you next week. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed on tonight's broadcast are not necessarily the views and opinions of All Games Productions. This file may be freely distributed provided the original content is unedited and proper attribution is retained. For more information about All Games programming, go to www.allgames.com.